Chapter 19, The Glass Desert. The next day, the group readied themselves for the journey. "Here, take these," Ben said. "I've outgrown them." He threw a pack of clothes at Evercloud. "And you can use the pack as we travel." Evercloud took out a pair of trousers, a shirt, and a belt. He stepped into the trousers, and they fit much better than the ones White Claw had stolen. The shirt fit better also, and was made from thin leather instead of rough material. He strapped the belt on and found a holster his claw hooked onto quite nicely. "Now I look like a warrior," he thought. Not everyone was joining the quest. Nicholas was staying behind, and much to Evercloud's disappointment, so was Yolana. Once the necessary preparations were made, it was time to say goodbye. Evercloud couldn't help but linger while talking to the beautiful woman. "Thank you for your hospitality, Yolana," he said and blushed. "I hope we see each other again."
"I think we will."
Yolana reached out and touched his hand, causing him to redden even more.
"Good luck."
"All right," White Claw called. "Let's go."
Evercloud waved a final goodbye and the group headed west. It was a beautiful morning to be walking through the forest. The sky was blue, the air was warm, a breeze moved through the trees. Birds sang and Evercloud felt as if he could fly. He couldn't wait to find Tenturo. He thought of the feather and imagined the ancient soaring above the mountaintops, a bringer of peace and prosperity to all. He pictured himself back at home on Grey Mountain, his mother and father so proud, and his uncle, aunt, and cousin sharing in the happiness. Everyone was around him in celebration. Evercloud even imagined Yolana would be there. The group walked out of the forest well before midday, and now moved through a stretch of plains. Evercloud walked alone, ahead of the pack, immersed in his fantasies as Ben caught up to him.
"So," Ben said, "is this the first time you've been around other humans?"
"I suppose it is," Evercloud said.
"I think you fit in just fine," Ben said with a smile.
"The bears have raised you well. They're not so different from us. I mean, we both live in caves, don't we?" Both men smiled at the joke.
"I hope they feel the same about us," Ben added.
"I believe they will," Evercloud said. "That's really the point of all this, isn't it? To create a better world, restore harmony?"
"Yes, it is."
Ben took a sip of water from his canteen and then offered it to Evercloud.
"No thanks," Evercloud said.
"I know trust is something that builds over time," Ben said. "But I want you to know you can trust me. You'll meet many people who will not deserve your trust, so stay cautious, but remain open-minded. If there are any questions you have about our world, just ask."
"Thanks, Ben," Evercloud said.
"We're lucky we found your family."
"I'm happy to have found good people."
"Well, don't worry, my friend," Ben said. "You will meet more good men before it is all over, as well as many other fair women." Ben patted Evercloud on the back. Ben's words seemed odd to Evercloud after he thought for a minute. What does he mean by other fair women? He wondered. The five searchers walked on until the sun began to set, and then they made camp beside a stream.
"This is the last stream before we reach the desert," Thomas said. "We should make camp here for the night. I'll shoot some fish with my bow."
"Don't waste your time,"
Riverpaw said as he waded into the stream, and within seconds was throwing fish onto the bank.
"Well, I suppose I'll make the fire then," Thomas said.
"What do you need to make a fire for?" Evercloud asked.
"To cook the fish," Thomas said and chuckled.
"Don't tell me you eat them raw." Evercloud nodded.
"Oh," Thomas said. "Well, we prefer fish cooked. Besides, it's good to have a fire going. It helps keep the animals away."
Thomas looked slowly toward White Claw, afraid this was what the bear had meant when he had said, "Can we assume you won't do anything that will force us to kill you?"
"Funny," White Claw huffed with a stoic glare. "We don't start fires mostly to keep the humans away."
Thomas's legs trembled, and he stuttered while trying to apologize. Suddenly, White Claw's lips cracked in a large, bearish grin.
"Calm down, little man. Where's your sense of humor?"
White Claw sat down and laughed heartily.
"You looked like you thought I was going to eat you."
Riverpaw laughed as he stood in the stream, and even Evercloud and Ben smiled.
"The bears are making fun of me," Thomas muttered to himself. "Wonderful."
It wasn't long before the fire had been built, and everyone had eaten their fill. The sun had set, and the group relaxed in the glow of the firelight. "I should warn you, there are dangers in the desert," Ben said while he picked his teeth with a fishbone. "Apart from dehydration, there are poisonous snakes and scorpions. Also, there are crabs."
"Crabs?" Riverpaw asked. "Are they poisonous crabs?"
"No," Ben said, "but they're really big crabs."
"Oh,"
Riverpaw said with obvious cynicism in his voice. "Anyway," Ben said, looking at the bears, "I assume you two defend yourself without weapons. My brother prefers the bow, and I carry a sword. Evercloud, I brought a second sword for you. I can help you learn to use it."
"I already have a weapon," Evercloud said.
"Oh, sorry, I didn't see it," Ben said. "Where do you keep it?" Evercloud moved the piece of cloth at his waist and uncovered the claw. He walked to Ben and held it out for him. Ben's jaw dropped as he marveled at the golden weapon. It looked magical in the firelight, as if it held some ancient power.
"That's amazing," Ben whispered.
"My father gave it to me," Evercloud said.
"Well, anyway," Ben said, "once we enter the desert, we'll want to have our weapons on us at all times. My brother and I know the safest routes, so we should be fine. The desert can make for quite the trek, though, so I suggest everyone get a good night's sleep."
"Sleep sounds like a good plan," White Claw said, and rolled onto his side.
The rest of the group made their sleeping arrangements and quickly fell into a world of slumber. Morning came, with another meal of fish from the stream, and after eating, they put out the fire and drank their fill of water.
"Drink until your stomachs hurt," Ben called.
Afterward, they filled many skins with water. Ben and Thomas knew every drop they could carry would be precious. Evercloud tightly strapped his claw on, wondering how long it would be before he had to use it. The sun had not yet risen above the horizon, and the brothers wanted to start the journey before it did.
"Let's move," Thomas said. "We want to cover a good bit of ground before the day gets too hot."
And so they set out. It wasn't 15 minutes before the grass faded away, and within another half hour they had crossed into the glass desert. As Evercloud looked along the horizon, he thought the desert was aptly named. All the paintings he had seen and depictions he had read about deserts suggested they were colored yellow or orange or red. The sand of this desert was dark blue and made the surface of the dunes seem like a frozen ocean. Evercloud bent down and scooped a handful, letting the grains of sand fall between his fingers. They looked like tiny crystals of glass.
"She's beautiful, isn't she?" Thomas asked.
"She's just as deadly. Make sure the three of you follow the path Ben and I make. We'll walk ahead to ensure it's safe, but don't fall too far behind." Thomas and Ben left the group to scout ahead, and for the first time in a while, Evercloud and the bears could speak freely to one another.
"Do you trust them, Father?" Riverpaw asked.
"I think so," Whiteclaw said. "But don't become too comfortable with them. Take care with what you say and what you reveal."
"I noticed they didn't mention the powers the ancients once bestowed to humans," Evercloud added.
"We told you," Whiteclaw said. "Much knowledge of the ancients has been lost to humans. You saw how they depended upon that book. I think it is best we don't speak of those powers. If Ben and Thomas thought there were power to gain in this quest, things could become very different. Though I must admit, they seem to act under a higher purpose. It's still hard to believe we were fortunate enough to find the Floyd family."
"That feather was amazing," Riverpaw said. "It must be Tantoro's. After all, what else could it be?"
"I can't believe any of this is real," Evercloud said. "We're actually going to find one of the ancients?" The wind picked up, and Evercloud looked into the sky. As the breeze came across the desert, it made noises Evercloud had never heard. It sounded like chittering.
"There must be millions of little things like this I've never experienced before," Evercloud thought.
He suddenly wished he knew what all those things were. He felt so fresh and new to the world, as if everything were happening for the first time. The day was very hot now, and Evercloud took a large gulp from one of the water skins he carried. The sun was blinding as he tilted his head back, so he closed his eyes while he drank. He listened to the wind chittering as the cool liquid glided down his throat. Then he thought he heard something else in the wind, the sound of yelling.
"What are they doing?" Riverpaw asked.
Evercloud opened his eyes and looked ahead. Roughly 100 yards away, the brothers were waving their arms and yelling.
"Can either of you hear them?" White Claw asked.
"It sounds like they're yelling back," Evercloud guessed. "Maybe they want us to turn back."
"No," Riverpaw said, shaking his head. "They're yelling crab. They must have found one of those really big crabs that are so dangerous."
"Oh, I hope they wait for us to catch up," Evercloud said. "I wanted an easy target to practice my battle skills."
"They sure are making a fuss, aren't they?" Riverpaw said.
The chittering wind seemed to get louder, and suddenly the temperature got much cooler, as if someone had turned off the sun. Riverpaw looked up to find it, and was met by a horrifying pair of giant eye stalks.
"Crab!"
he roared. The other two looked up to see a giant claw swinging toward them. They dove to the desert floor, and the claw narrowly missed.
"Attack the legs!" the brothers yelled as they ran with their weapons drawn. "Attack the legs!"
White Claw was the first into action and charged the giant blue crab. It swung its claw at him and missed again. Then White Claw darted underneath the crustacean and barreled into one of its back legs. The leg broke and the crab swayed, but quickly regained its footing. Bouncing back, the crab seized White Claw with its smaller claw, preventing the elder bear from retreating. Thankfully, the brothers Floyd had entered the fray just in time. Thomas unleashed an arrow and struck one of the crab's protruding eyes. It released its hold on White Claw and reeled in pain.
"That thing is huge!"
Riverpaw yelled.
"I told you it was really big!" Ben shouted back. "That is much bigger than really big!"
Riverpaw complained. He looked back up at the creature and saw it was preparing to charge them. Evercloud jumped into action. He ran at the crab and slid feet first underneath it. Then he reached out with his claw and severed one of the creature's legs. Ben held his swords high and made to charge the crab, but Riverpaw stopped him.
"Get on my back!" the young bear yelled.
Ben climbed on, and Riverpaw ran for the underside of the crab while it was still stunned from Evercloud's attack. Once underneath, Ben rose up and plunged both his blades deep into the crab. The creature stumbled and swayed as its life faded away. The group retreated, ready for the crab to attack again, yet it never did. It fell dead into the side of a large dune, and the battle ended. The group collapsed to the ground, out of breath and sick on adrenaline.
"How did we not see that thing coming?"
Riverpaw gasped in between deep breaths.
"They're camouflaged in the sand and impossible to see at a distance," Thomas said. "The only way to know they're close is the chittering."
Ben walked to the dead crab and retrieved his blades from it. As he yanked them free, he noticed the crab had punched a hole into the side of the dune.
"Hey," he called to the others, "come see this."